Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Bigfoot, Sasquatch, does he roam the mountains of Shasta County? Happy Friday evening to you. I'm Jim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
And this is Shasta Outdoors, brought to you tonight by Professional Exterminators. As an outreach of It Does My Soul Well, Shasta Outdoors endeavors to bring to you every Friday evening guest news and information about the great outdoors in Northern California. And Jennifer, what exactly is It Does My Soul Well?
It Does My Soul Well endeavors to accomplish three things. We challenge you to get outdoors, we inspire you to get healthy, and we encourage you in your spiritual life.
So Shasta Outdoors is our way to challenge you to get outdoors and enjoy things like hiking, kayaking, fishing, hunting, camping, biking, you name it. There's a wide variety of choices, especially here in Northern California. Hey, tonight, Jennifer, in the studio, we have with us Susie Blackburn.
That's right. Susie is an outdoor enthusiast and has stories to share about her encounters with Bigfoot.
Ooh, I would love to learn where and how I can find him. We have been excited about this program, haven't
really
we?
Exciting.
We've been talking about it for weeks that we were going to be doing this program on Bigfoot. But you know what, Jennifer, tonight I have some mixed emotions.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Yes, you can be my on-air therapist right now. This is actually
Tell me how you really feel.
This is going to be our last airing of Shasta Outdoors, and it's been a lot of fun. You have been just a wonderful co-host. Oh, my goodness.
You've been a great host.
Yes, and so we'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the program. But it has been just a wonderful time. We've had a lot of different types of programs that we have done having to do with outdoor recreation. And it's been very educational for me personally.
Oh, absolutely. Me too. Remember when I learned how to do a bass tournament or whatever
last
week?
That's right. We learned about hunting, how to stalk blacktail deer. And
the Jeep one with the crawlers.
Yes, and that was a lot of fun. And we've learned about fly fishing, and I've had programs on houseboating, and oh my goodness, I'm looking here.
Oh, and don't forget the RV.
Oh yeah, full-time RV. That's what my Peruvian queen Fanny and I are going to be doing is full-time RV ministry. And so we're in the process of selling everything, almost everything, not quite everything, but
still, I think it's super weird. You sold your bed first.
Yes.
I don't know. Well, I don't know how you manage.
You'll have to talk to Fanny about that one. I mean, she just started putting things on Marketplace and
That was the first thing.
She set up tables in our dining room area with items for sale.
Wow.
And people were just showing up. And so when I was answering the phone, I was just answering at Scarborough Thrift Shop.
Oh, no.
And so, so we've sold most of our things. And now we're just working on selling our house. We've got to upgrade our truck. And so we're getting ready. It's getting close.
Well, even though we're not going to be doing this program on air, I hope you continue with all of your outdoor adventures.
Oh, I will. You'll begin to see more of our videos at other places, not just Shasta County area.
I love your video blogs or the videos. Is it video blogs? Am I saying
that
right?
Yeah, I could call it that. A
just
blog.
Not that trendy vlog. You are a vlogger now.
Right.
I love those. I think they're really, really cool. And I love watching other people like across the United States. So you should totally be one of those.
Yeah, we plan on doing it. So wherever it might be, we're going to continue the outdoor adventures, exploring different places across the nation. And we just know because of the nature of the type of ministry that we're doing, we may be in a particular area for a month or 2 months. And so we'll be able to thoroughly explore those areas. I do plan on possibly doing some additional online type interviews. And so,
so that might be
in the future. Right now, if people want to get a hold of us or know more about It Does My Soul Well, they can go to itdoesmysoulwell.com. We have recordings of this program, but there will be another, there's another website that will be more specific to the things that Fanny and I will be doing, and that is risingrivers.org.
Right.
Risingrivers.org, yeah. Hey, we've got a producer tonight.
We do.
I don't know who it is. Who is it?
It's our friend Ty Chapman.
That's right. How you guys doing?
Any awesome, incredible news, Ty Chapman?
Oh, I don't know. I came home from the hospital and brought home something from the gift shop, a little bouncing baby girl.
And her name again?
Tallulah.
Now, Tallulah, listen to this. Tallulah is actually a Native American name.
Yep.
Oh.
And I believe it means dancing waters.
Leaping water, dancing
leaping,
water.
Leaping water.
And then
yes.
In Hebrew, it means city by the water.
City by the water. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
There are, I believe in Georgia, there are some Tallulah Falls.
Yes. We know about those, and we want to take a trip eventually when we don't have little babies running around the house.
Take a picture of her in front of the sign.
And so I think, what a beautiful name. And I love the meaning of that name about the connection with the waters and leaping waters.
Yep. We took a long time. We were going to do a couple of different names. Sieta. I was telling your Peruvian queen over there that I am, I'm Jewish, and I also have Native American blood, so we were trying to find something that kind of fit both of those.
Well, you did well.
What a great fit.
And we were going to go with Sieta, but, you know, I think we went with the right name, so.
I love the name, and congratulations to you.
Yeah, congratulations, Ty Chapman.
Oh, man, you guys made me sad, though. You guys are, I'm not going to be here next week doing the outdoor show. I love doing this stuff, man.
Yeah, I know, I love this.
Yeah, and we have loved having you as our producer.
Well, I'll follow you on Facebook.
Yes, good.
Make sure to throw you a like every now and again.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes,
you're welcome.
Let me know that you're still living out there. And I saw the picture of little Tallulah, and she is absolutely beautiful.
Oh,
what a beautiful baby.
Yeah,
oh my goodness.
She was big. It was she had to get a C-section, my wife did, because she was 11 pounds.
Holy moly!
Yep, very, very big little girl.
Ooh! Big baby.
Oh my goodness. Is there a papoose big enough for that child?
I do not know. No, but she's doing really well. She's healthy, and she's screaming and crying and eating and sleeping and doing all the things she's supposed to do.
What a great baby.
Yeah, that is.
But at least you get to go out with a Bigfoot. You get to go out with a bang.
Yes, that's right. I know. This is going to be a really exciting program.
We knew we couldn't top this. We knew Susie was it.
Yes, and Susie is here with us. Susie, you want to say hello?
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on the program. Looking forward to digging into this.
Oh, we are looking forward to talking about Bigfoot, and we may have some people that would like to call in tonight.
Yeah, tonight,
Jennifer.
I mean, there must be. Sorry, Dad, they're talking about you because I said you were tuning in. But anyone else that would love to call in for sure, please give us a call and call us at 530-605-4567. The number was in front of me, but I did lose it. But that is it.
It's right up there on the board. Yes, you can say it again.
530-605-4567. I know you guys are all going to want to call in and talk about Bigfoot and talk to Susie and say, you know, farewell to Tim and me.
Yeah, and you. And, you know, I have some things, I don't know, have you ever had any kind of Bigfoot encounter?
So my very favorite, one of my favorite places to go on our family trips is we'd stop in between, it was in Junction City area, you know, in the Trinity, along the Trinity River.
Yes.
And we'd stay at Bigfoot RV Park. And so as a kid, I thought that that would indicate that Bigfoot had been there. Now, you know, I just know that it's Bigfoot country or whatever referred to or whatever. But that was my favorite place. So, I mean, I've seen Bigfoot on the sign every time I drive by, and I would actually look forward to it. That was one of my favorite places. It was destroyed by a fire. But that was one of my very favorite places.
Right.
And just fun fact, the pool is still there. So you can see it from 299 or 299.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I have. I have actually seen that before.
That was one of my favorite places.
Hey, we're going to have to take a break here. But before we do, let's thank our wonderful, wonderful sponsor. And that is, and you know, instead of just kind of giving this whole spiel, let's talk about Professional Exterminators. They have been a sponsor of the program from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dave and Madonna Silva, they're the owners.
I think Dave and Madonna Silva are so fun. So he's the president of the Anderson Chamber Board.
Yes.
And we had this really cool event, and they showed up as Rip and Beth from Yellowstone, and they won the prize. It was convincing.
Oh,
their
wow.
costumes were so good.
Wow.
They are so cool. I love them so much.
Oh, we do too. And I cannot say enough about how much I appreciate the fact that they have sponsored this program, been faithful in doing that. Fanny and I, we were on our way to Costco yesterday, and we were talking about Dave and Madonna and Professional Exterminators, and I was telling Fanny, you know, we need to do something special for them because they have been so wonderfully supportive of this program.
Absolutely.
We pull into Costco, and there's Dave Silva walking across
no
the
way.
Parking lot. Yes. So we hop out and chit-chat with him. And you know what? Our audience has been very responsive. They have received business because of sponsoring this program, and so it blessed us to hear that. And we even asked Dave, hey, is there anything we can do to bless you? And he says, oh, man, you guys have blessed us enough.
Aww, he's such a good guy.
Yeah, such a wonderful, wonderful man, and we are very thankful for them. So if they want, if our listeners want to get a hold of them, how can they do that?
If something's bugging them, they can give them a call at 530-338-2822. Professional Exterminators, 530-338-2822.
You are listening to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
We'll be back.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens. Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke, and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
Welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
And tonight, hey, we have a very special guest. You know, Jennifer, when I was in high school for 3 summers, I worked in the mountains near Willow Creek, California.
Oh.
Yeah, which is known as, I believe, the Bigfoot capital of the world.
Exactly, right there right
yes.
by the campground they talk
oh,
about.
Oh, my goodness. I was up there. I would stay up in the mountains all week and all during the weekend. My dad and my uncle, they were building logging roads up
oh,
there.
Wow.
And then they would leave and come back down to Redding as far and the rest of the work crew. And then I was left behind to watch camp. And some of my experiences up there, I didn't really realize it back then, but I was possibly hearing some things
Maybe
and seeing some
were.
Things that were connected with Bigfoot. But definitely my fascination about the potential for such a creature really began there. And tonight we have someone who has had personal encounters with Bigfoot, and I'm excited to hear what she has to say. Susie Blackbird, welcome to Shasta Outdoors.
Thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be here this evening.
All right. We have been looking forward to this for some time. We've been talking for at least 3 months, I think, trying to get a time when we can get you on here. But first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself personally.
Well, I have been involved with the Backcountry Horsemen of California for 20 years, so that gets me out into the outback, so to speak. Spent a lot of time in the Trinity Alps. I am a horse person. I also am into packing. Mm-hmm. And I also served as Shasta County Sheriff's Mounted Search and Rescue for 8 years. And I've always been very passionate about the outdoors and the mountains, especially here in the North State.
Right, right. So obviously you're out there quite a bit then.
Yes, I am. I still am.
Yes. And is it primarily then riding horses and things that are associated with that?
Yes, it is. And I think that being a horse person, it gets you farther into the mountains where there's not as many people. And I think it's given myself a big edge on a lot of other Bigfoot researchers.
Right.
Because
right.
of that.
So I would imagine, and I do a lot of hiking. I have for years, and I've been up in the mountains a great deal. And when you're doing that, you come across various types of animal tracks, and you become familiar with that, right?
Yes, indeed.
And what types of animal tracks do you typically see?
Typically bear, deer, raccoons, coyotes, cougar. That's what we see a lot. Now I actually saw some elk tracks not too long ago. They're being reintroduced back into the Trinities here and there.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Up in the Trinity Alps mm-hmm. area. It's interesting. I lived in Burney for 5 years, and they have a herd of elk up there. And I came across, not very far from where I lived in Burney, actually came across the elk tracks. And so that was
cool.
rather interesting. And I, too, would see bear tracks and deer tracks. What was interesting to me is going out after a fresh snow and seeing how many tracks of animals are actually moving across the snow. You see them even more then, right?
Yes, indeed. That's a great time to go looking for tracks and prints is right after a fresh snow.
Right.
That's kind of what started it all for me.
nice. And we're going to get into that a little bit. But just tell us a little bit about when did you first ever hear anything about Bigfoot?
Well, the first time I heard about Bigfoot was when I was a kid. I grew up in Ukiah, California. My dad owned a business called Valley Equipment Company, and one of his employees' nicknames was Bigfoot. And he was a logger in his younger years, and he claimed to have seen one. And we didn't take him real seriously, but it did put the seed of intrigue in my mind, and just kind of paid attention to Bigfoot subjects along the way as I grew up. And created the beginning of an interest.
Did you by any chance see, when you were younger, I believe it's the Patterson-Gimlin film?
Gimlin, yes.
Yes, yes. And that would be the very first time that I remember anything about Bigfoot. They had filmed an encounter with Bigfoot. It's really famous
yes, it is.
Now. And it's one of the catalysts, I would say, that has caused people to go out and be looking for Bigfoot. But I can remember seeing that film as a young child going into the movie theater where they were doing a documentary on that. And even though I think they filmed it in 1967, I believe I probably saw it sometime in the early 70s going with my dad and just being fascinated by that. And then, of course, years later, working up in Willow Creek, realizing that it wasn't very far from
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah, where all the action is, right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's like, hey, here I am, you know. And wow. So.
Willow Creek is a cute little town, too. You keep mentioning it, and it mm-hmm. has all the Bigfoot stuff, all of the things.
Yeah.
So there is, Susie, is that, are you from that area? Or have you been in that area?
Willow Creek, yes. We have some of our, a little bit of our research that we actually donated to the museum in Willow Creek.
Oh, very cool.
So when you were younger and you were hearing about Bigfoot, did you think at that time that Bigfoot was real?
I really didn't know. I just didn't pay that much attention to it. Just a seed of interest.
Yes.
Oh, I did. By the way.
Yeah, and I'm just going to say, put it out there right now that, you know, my personal position is that I'm somewhat skeptical, but hopeful, and I really want to believe. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
And I may share a little something that I've experienced in my life, but what was your very first encounter with Bigfoot?
It was back in about 2005. I was going horse camping from my very first horse camping trip up into the Trinity Alps with a friend of mine that I met in the backcountry horseman. She's now retired fishing game. Just the two of us, and we were up Stewart Fork at the trailhead and camped overnight with our horses. And we had just gone to bed. It was probably about 10:30. All of a sudden, there was like three or four cars of teenagers, young people came into the camp. They'd been drinking, loud, partying, and very annoying. We were trying to get to sleep, but it was hard. The horses were tied on a high line, our two horses. And all of a sudden, across the creek, we heard the most blood-curdling roar, howl, that you would ever think. And my friend, is, like I say, is retired fishing game. She knows what a cougar sounds like. She knows what a bear sounds like. And so do I. And this thing, whatever it was, didn't sound like any known-to-us creature.
Wow.
And it was voluminous in the intensity of the noise, and we could tell it was big. And we both jumped out of our tents, and we were like, what the heck was that? And it scared the horses. They were turning in circles on the high line, really upset. I honestly don't think that the partying crowd even heard it, but it sure upset us. Got our attention.
Right.
And how loud that must have been, because you couldn't even go to sleep from how loud the rest of them were.
Yeah, it was very, very loud. And the first thing that came to both of our minds was Bigfoot, because there really wasn't anything else that it could have been. And that's what started my interest.
Wow.
Right. So there wasn't any other kind of viable explanation that either you or what did you say your friend did? Again,
she's a biologist for fish and game.
Okay.
Retired now.
So we're talking about people that are out in the outdoors, people that have knowledge of various types of wildlife.
Oh, yes.
And you're hearing something that
I
cannot
totally
be
know.
Attributed to anything that you would know.
That's
prior
right.
to that.
And
so that was your very first encounter.
Very first encounter.
Right.
It got me my curiosity going, so I started paying a lot better attention after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was it something that you started sharing with people right away?
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been very transparent about this subject. A lot of people aren't. Most aren't.
Right.
But I am.
Right. And what kind of response were you getting from people?
a lot of laughs.
Right.
Aww.
Right. And so people saying, okay, well, maybe she heard something, but.
Right. Yeah, they think it's okay. I take it well.
I would have been like, let's go back. Let's go see. Let's go find it. You know, I would have just been so curious.
Well, it takes a lot of time to get up there. It's a long ways. I mean, it's a big deal to have horses in the backcountry.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And I was working full time at the time.
Wow.
So, usually summers, I get up there, but.
Wow.
Right. Well, I can understand, you know, for me, and I'll go ahead and share this right now before we go to a break, but when I lived in Burney, I took a really long hike up Burney Mountain from the Burney town side, and it was in kind of late spring, and as I was hiking up the mountain, I got to the place where there was some snow that was left over and some snow drifts and so forth, And I know without a doubt that I was probably the only person that had been there maybe possibly in years. You know, there was no sign of anyone else, and it was quite a ways up the mountain. And I reached a little bit of a plateau, and there was a bit of a snow drift. And as I got closer to that, there was a single footprint. And I could see toes, and it was very well defined. And I didn't see any other prints. It was just the one print that was in an area of snow that was probably about 10 foot wide, I would say. And I took pictures of it right then and there with my phone. But I was just really reluctant or hesitant to share that with anybody, because I thought, oh, they're just going to think that I'm crazy, that, you know, I'm making this up.
But I mean, what else could it have been?
I know, it made no sense. And, you know, compared to my foot, I wear a size 11 shoe, and it wasn't a whole lot bigger than my foot, but there's just no way that somebody was up there barefooted
with their feet out in the snow
and making one step right there in the snow
without finding a body somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And so that was something that I experienced, that I look back at it now and think, you know what, if there was ever an encounter or something of evidence for me personally of Bigfoot, that was
that
it.
That was it.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we've got to take a break. And Susie, I want to talk with you when we come back a little bit more about some of your connections and some of your, you know, organizations that you might be part of in all of this Bigfoot research. Okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Awesome. We'll be back right after this.
I'll fly away.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Explore the wonder and science of wintery landscapes at Turtle Bay's newest museum exhibition, Snow. Tiny Crystals, Global Impact, on display September 16th through December 31st at Turtle Bay Museum. This exhibit dives deep into the environment, culture, adaptations, and sciences all about snow as a valuable resource. Great for all ages. Snow. Tiny Crystals, Global Impact is presented by Carolina Giramonti in memory of Nick L. and Claudia Giramonti. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Are you ready for some scare fun? Well, then come join Reading Rotary Haunted House as a monolith on October 19th through the 22nd and October 26th through the 29th from 6:30 to 10 p.m. Sponsored by Wind River, SPI, and Bud Light. There's going to be food trucks and beer trucks and lots of fun scares to be had. Tickets are available at the door or online at readinghauntedhouse.org. If you'd like to also scare others, sign up at readinghauntedhouse.org.
Welcome back. I was waiting for the cues to like come back in, and so I'm like waiting and waiting. I thought the music was going to nicely fade out and I would be able to say, welcome to Shasta Outdoors Radio. I'm Jennifer Ely.
And I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I was waiting for that, and then I'm really bad at taking cues apparently. I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. Yeah. And then I didn't. I'm sorry.
No,
it's anyways, I would love for everyone to go ahead and give us a call in. A great number to call us on is 530-605 4567. You cannot tell me that you don't have a great Bigfoot story. You know you guys want to call in and share it with us. What are you waiting for?
Yeah, I love that.
Don't be like me. Don't hesitate. Don't miss your opportunity.
Right. Hey, in the studio, we have Susie Blackburn, and we've been talking about Bigfoot here tonight. And Susie, we heard about your first encounter, which was back in, you said, 2005?
Correct.
And, but you are, you know, part of various organizations, is that correct, that have to do with Bigfoot? Or
no,
you have some connections or knowledge of those things?
No, I've met some important Bigfoot researchers, okay. But I'm belong to no organization. I came across it quite by happenstance, actually. My girlfriend, I have two girlfriends that were riding buddies, and we were up at Whiskeytown Park, and it had snowed, and we wanted to introduce our horses to snow, and so we got up early the next morning, and it was a fresh snow that had fallen during the night, and we went high up into Whiskeytown Park, and that's when we found a Bigfoot family tracks or prints from the Bigfoot, three different sizes, Mama
wow.
Bear, Papa Bear, and Baby Bear.
Right.
And we actually spent a lot of time analyzing them, looking at them. We tied up our horses and did a lot of walking around the area. We watched where they came up from the ravine, walked along the edge of Peltier Road, and then dropped back down again. And there, like I say, there was a large one, which we assume was a large male, and then probably the female, and then a juvenile. And that's what really got my interest. And there was one track that was the female, I assume, that was real close to a bear track, and I got a great picture of those two for contrast, so there, once you see them side by side, there's no, you just can't misidentify them. They're so different. And I actually did get that photograph accepted on George Norrie's Coast to Coast AM. It's in the archive somewhere.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, that is. And so this is near Whiskeytown Lake?
Yes.
Right. Right. And hey, listen, we have a caller?
No. I just wanted to chime in.
Oh, you're going to chime in.
I've been waiting for this for a few weeks.
Yes, come on, Ty.
So people don't want to believe in things like Bigfoot. And the reason why is because they cannot see it. But I do believe that Bigfoot is up there. The woods there are so thick in the Trinities, up in the Trinity Alps.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many places a Bigfoot could hide. I just wanted to mention that because that's the way I feel.
Right.
And I just wanted to say that.
All right.
I think Bigfoot's real. And
nice.
I think there's no doubt about it.
Yeah. I feel along the same lines with Ty Chapman. Why not? Why are we fighting it so hard?
Right.
Why not?
Yeah, I think.
Why not?
I think, you know, there's a lot of skepticism out there and people. But, you know, as I was researching for this program, it's just like so many people, just person after person, having an encounter, and there's just no way that there would be that many people having encounters and stories to tell that, to me, would say, oh, everybody's just making this up.
And
they're not.
Right. And, Tim, here's my reasoning. So you think about the bottom of the ocean, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've only explored maybe 2 or 3% of our ocean floors, right?
Right.
There
right.
could be anything down there.
Yes.
Absolutely anything. There could be legitimate monsters, and there are. So why not in the middle of a forest that thick? Why wouldn't there be a Bigfoot?
Oh, I'm glad you said that. I was like, Ty Chapman, are you insinuating that Bigfoot is in the bottom of
the
ocean?
No, I'm insinuating we don't know a lot as much as we think we know. So.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
That makes sense. And I think I'm excited to find out a little bit more about that as well, because
mm-hmm.
we're talking about how there's so many people. If Susie has had conversations with other people who have had encounters.
Oh, yes, many. My profession is I have Artiques Appraisal Service, and I go to a lot of people's homes and do, I'm a certified estate appraiser. And so I just kind of go off of their energy or my instincts, and I've asked a lot of questions to my clients over the years if I feel that it's possible that they have had a Bigfoot encounter. And I've heard some really interesting stories. One that comes to mind right off the get-go was a gentleman, and when he was a kid, he and his brother were playing, they were on the Clear Creek bridge, and they had the boombox, and they were playing it really loud, and they said a Bigfoot was exposed himself or showed himself down below in the ravine on Clear Creek and was kind of yelling at them and scared them really bad. They ran off, but they believed in retrospect that it was the loud music that brought him out of hiding.
Wow, that's interesting.
That's cool.
Which leads me to my next question. Have you then physically seen Bigfoot?
Yes, twice.
Okay, tell us about that.
Well, the first time was after we had done, I would say, probably 2 years worth of field research, and we had established a relationship, we being my partner and I. She prefers to remain anonymous, but I had a horsey girlfriend that used to go up there with me all the time where we did our research in Whiskeytown. There was a clan of them up there. Anyway, about 2 years after that, I used to live not too far from there, and I actually showed a picture from Google Earth of where my property was in relationship to Whiskeytown Park and showed it to the expert, Richard Hucklebridge, who was mentoring me at the time. And he said it was very feasible that they follow people home. And so anyway, in the middle of the night, I had happened to me what some people call mind speak, and it woke me up out of a dead sleep where I actually had the picture in my mind of a Bigfoot face, and it really freaked me out. At first I thought I was dreaming, but then I got up and I walked into the dining room and I looked down towards the horses where my horse pasture was, and it was a full moon that night, so it was pretty lit up out there. And I actually saw a Bigfoot walking across my backyard, and he was so tall that he stepped right across the wire fencing, fencing. He stepped over it like it was not much of a barrier to him. And that was the first time that I ever saw one. And the next day I was telling my uncle about it, and he goes, well, did you go down and look for tracks? And I go, no, I did not. So the next day I went down, and I didn't find any, but then I went over to the round pen, which has a sand base. It's decomposed granite and sand on top. Mm-hmm. And I found a whole lot of tracks in that, which some of them I did cast.
Wow.
Oh, that's cool.
Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing. And so you said that was the first time then that you actually physically saw one.
Yes.
And then what was the other time?
Well, the second time was actually up at Indian Valley, up out of Hayfork, probably 6-7 years ago. I was up there camping with another friend of mine who was also a member of the Backcountry Horsemen, just the two of us. And we had just gone to bed again. It was probably 9 o'clock, maybe 10 o'clock at night. And we had a little campfire going, and it was dying down. And she slept in her horse trailer, and I was in a tent that I had right backed up to my truck. And the campfire was about 15 feet in front of me where my tent was. And I had just the screen open on the tent because it was a warm night, so I could see out. I could see the campfire. And a juvenile, small Bigfoot, ran between the campfire and my tent. And I saw him.
Close.
And that really got my attention. It was kind of scary but funny at the same time because
right.
they're just messing with you. You know?
Yes.
And then when he got over by the restroom, he made a really loud noise. It's like he took his hand and hit it as hard as he could, and it was so loud that it got my friend out of her camper. What
wow.
the heck was that?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Amazing. I mean, that now that is a very close encounter then.
Too close.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, of course, one of the things that, you know, when I'm looking at some of the research, sometimes people are, they've been able to capture a picture or some video or something like that. But it sounds like what you've had, that happened so quickly that you weren't able to really do that.
Indeed. And I do have pictures. They're all blurry, you know, they're all kind of weird. There's nothing clear. But we were told, my girlfriend actually took a picture. You hear about Bigfoot, disappearing, being really good at that, or being invisible, and the term that a lot of people use is cloaking.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine was taking pictures behind her as she was riding, just sporadically shooting them off, 1, 2, 3, 4. And when she got home and she was looking at the pictures, she found one, a Bigfoot in kind of transparent mode. It was like half cloaked and half there. It was just the kind of transparent. So that was kind of. In fact, we were told by one of the expert Bigfoot researchers that it was the best cloaking picture that he had seen to date.
Wow. So that's really interesting, and it just makes me wonder even more about, you know, this particular creature and just how, you know, the depth of how it is made up and all of that is definitely, I would say, has to be a very elusive creature.
Oh, yes, they are indeed.
Yeah, and... I don't know if anybody has ever done any kind of estimate of how many there can be, or
I have no idea about that. There's a lot of research done. In fact, there's been we actually, my friend and I, collected DNA samples, and when we contacted David Pilates, who was wrote the Missing 411 books, I contacted him because he wrote a book in the Willow Creek Hoopaw area called The Hoopaw Project, and that's why I contacted David. But anyway, I told him we had DNA, and he kind of laughed at me, and he goes, a lot of people have that. And he says, there's an ongoing study right now. There's a veterinarian named Melba Ketchum. She's all over the Internet. Anybody interested can find her research and read it online. But they do attribute the mitochondrial DNA to a female with an unknown male. So.
Wow.
So I have more questions at the end of the day. I mean, I've been researching them for 10 years. I have more questions now than I did when I started. But I know a lot, but I don't consider myself an expert.
Right. Well, hey, this is fascinating, but we've got to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Susie Blackburn. You are listening to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. La Gloria Cubana Classic, a longtime favorite created with Nicaraguan and Dominican fillers and an exquisite Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper. Along with a medium body profile, this stick offers rich chocolate and leathery notes with a cedary finish, guaranteed to age well. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Considering the purchase of an e-bike, why not get more bang for your buck? Redding Electric Utilities e-bike program offers $1,000 towards an e-bike and $150 towards a lock and helmet for income-eligible applicants. With gas and car prices on the rise, there's no better time to take advantage of the new cycling connections in Redding. Join the movement to save some green while going green. E-biking means more fun, more trails for your tires, and more smiles per mile. Find out if you qualify at cityofredding.org/rebates.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
They're doing the meth around. They're doing the mess around. Everybody's doing the mess around.
Welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
And we've been talking with Susie Blackburn about Bigfoot, and she has had some encounters. She has seen Bigfoot personally a couple times. There's some other stories, though. Susie, why don't you share with us?
Well, one of the, I think, most significant things that we've done with Bigfoot, my friend and I that were researching, is this is with the Whiskeytown clan. And by the way, after the fire, the car fire, I don't know if they've come back. So, but before that was when all of our research was done. But anyway, we started, the very first time that got our attention up there, we were training for an endurance race. Both of us had Arabian endurance horses, and we were clipping along, and it wasn't probably half an hour till dark. And we heard down in the ravine to the left of us crashing through the brush, loud. I lived in Montana for 5 years. I know what loud crashing bear sound like. And this was really, really loud. And the way the trail went up and around and dropped down, the direction the crashing sound was going was going to intersect with us going down the hill. And so when we got down to that point where we thought that whatever it was would come out onto our trail, we thought, well, they talk about wood knocking a lot, you know, knocking on trees. Let's try that. So I got off my horse, and my friend held him for me, and I got a stick, and I started knocking on wood on a tree at real loud, and that whatever it was drew that thing right to us, which was a big mistake. And the horses freaked out. We could hardly contain them. I mean, we had to get off, and we couldn't even sit on them. They were so upset, and we were pretty terrified because that thing came about 10 feet from popping out on the trail in front of us, and we were petrified for about 20 minutes. We couldn't walk past that spot that we had to because it was getting dark, so we finally just said a prayer and went. But about a couple days later, we went back up there to that spot to see if we could find where that thing stopped, and we did find it. We found where all the grasses, twigs are broken, and grasses were trampled down by something big and heavy, and we believe that that was a Bigfoot. So that's what really got us started researching up there, which led into a gift tree. We called it the gift tree. It was way up high in a part of the park that not too many people go to, and we started leaving gifts. One of the first things that we left, I made a 8x10 photograph of a Bigfoot with my friend and I each on our horses on either side of a Bigfoot that I picked off the internet and put it in acetate sheet and left it there along with the trail bar. And we went back a couple of days later to look at that thing, and it was about 10 feet away from where we left it, and it had canine teeth marks bitten all the way through it.
Wow.
And so it made something very, very angry. And so that's what started about a 3-year-long gifting exchange with the gift tree, which progressed into some very interesting exchange between the Bigfoot clan and us. The most interesting of all that I wanted to mention was I got the idea to get Round River rocks into. I researched ancient Native American symbols that were kind of universal, and I painted those symbols on the Round River rocks, and we found a place off trail where we found an eaten candy or trail bar wrapper, so with a ring of rocks around it that we felt Bigfoot frequented. So we left. We used that as kind of our palette to paint our picture with these rocks. And we would use, for instance, we rode up there, and like we used the sun and the moon and the creek and snakes and trees and a Bigfoot and horses, and just made these and people. And so we made we used the Native American ancient symbols to put on the rocks of those things that I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And so a couple days later, my friend and I did a night ride in the moonlight. Rode till almost midnight, but we don't ride high where the Bigfoots are. We just ride low and try to stay safe. Well, a couple of days after that, we went back up there to check the picture that we had made with the rocks, and they were the configuration was completely changed. Some of the rocks were taken out of the ring, put to the side, and what was left was the moon, two horses, two people in the creek. They had chose, I assume a Bigfoot had chose to use those rocks to put down, which told us that they were watching us when we were riding during the moonlight.
Wow, very interesting.
Oh, what are some of the commonly known behaviors regarding Bigfoot?
Well, I can't say that. I can just speak from my own experiences.
Sure.
The common behaviors that I know of is that they like, they demand respect.
Oh.
They're very, very sensitive to energy. If you have bad energy or are fearful of them,
mm-hmm.
that's not good.
Yeah.
If you leave, they like food. They like apples and fruit and trail bars, and they like you to leave them gifts, which I do whenever
right.
I'm up there.
Wow.
How interesting. What you mentioned about the energy. Whoops. I assaulted myself with the microphone. What you mentioned about the energy, though, that makes so much sense. Why some people are like, this is dumb. Maybe, you know, it's fear coming through, and that's why they're like, I don't see it. I don't find it. I look for it.
I've been with people that their energy was not... I wouldn't call it bad, but it wasn't the kind of energy that Bigfoot responds to in a positive way.
For sure.
And, the experiences up in the mountains are not good. They can scare you. Fortunately, the Bigfoots we have in California and our area are pretty user friendly. You don't hear of some of the things where people get hurt, like up in the Yukon and Canada
right.
and Alaska. They're bigger up there, and they're not used to people. But down here, they're pretty friendly.
Do you think we have a lot?
You know, I really have no clue on the number
okay.
of them. I really don't know.
Sure.
One of the programs I used to love to watch was called Finding Bigfoot.
Yes.
And they came to Reading.
Yes, they
right?
did.
And you were on that program.
Yes, my friend and I were on that program.
What was that like?
It was interesting. it's a TV program, and you know, they're out for ratings and, you know, that sort of thing. But the reason we went for one reason and one reason only. We wanted to know if there were other people that were going to show up in the audience that knew about the clan of Bigfoot.
Right, because they do like a town hall meeting.
They did
typically.
A town hall
they come
meeting
somewhere, and they want to hear about encounters.
Wow.
Yes,
and so you went to that
cool.
to hear what other people were saying.
We wanted to know if anybody else knew about the Whiskey Town Clan. But we did have some wonderful experiences up in the Caribou Wilderness just south of Lassen National Forest, and we got some of the best prints up there, adult and juvenile, that we ever cast. So we took those with us to the program and showed them, and they loved the juvenile castings. We had a whole
right.
box of them.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, this program, like it seems like it has happened almost every single week, is that it just goes by very, very quickly.
I can't even believe it.
I know.
I'm just getting started.
I know, right? And
we talk for 2 hours.
You know, if are there certain things that you see when you go out and about that you know that this is signs of Bigfoot that maybe the normal person wouldn't recognize?
Absolutely. Good question. Yes. There's two things that stand out almost every time I go out into the woods, and that is rocks. They communicate with rocks. The most common thing that they do, if they're passing by on a trail, they will take rocks and set them on a tree or a bigger rock, and they will use the size of rocks and the number of rocks to distinguish how many in their group are passing by. So
wow.
you might see a big rock and then a smaller one and maybe two little ones. That means a mama and a daddy and two juveniles. And then the other things that we see all the time are, some people call them sticks, structures, directional markers, but they manipulate sapling trees as directions. You'll see them in big bow shapes. Sometimes they use them for go this way. Sometimes they'll have them pointing to a spring to show them, you know, other Bigfoots where to get water, that sort of thing. But I see those the most common, those two things.
Awesome. Well, Susie, we do have to get going here, but thank you so much for being on the program. This has been absolutely fascinating, and we just can't thank you enough for being here and talking to us about this. And so, Jennifer, Last program. Yeah. It's been wonderful having you here on Shasta Outdoors, and
I hope
we have inspired you to get outdoors.
Very much. And yes. Now tonight, I kind of want to go look for Bigfoot. I won't go tonight though. Don't worry, Susie.
Hey, Fanny and I will be hitting the road soon. People can still find us on It Does My Soul Well, but also they can learn more at risingrivers.org. And Jennifer, we want to say thank you to our sponsor.
Yes, thank you, Professional Exterminators. We love you, Dave and Madonna Silva.
Yes, and thank you, listener, for tuning in to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
We challenge you to get out there and enjoy God's wonderful creation.
We promise it will do your soul well.
Fast on a rough road, riding high through the mountains, climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young like a new moon, rising fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.